right, welcome back to week two in our new sermon series called The Valley. Our week two series through Ezekiel 37. So if you have your Bible, I'm going to invite you to go ahead and start making your way to Ezekiel chapter 37. And when you get there, I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read verses 1 through 14 together. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. Again, we will concentrate on a smaller portion of that passage, but we need to keep the whole story in view. Ezekiel says, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by his spirit and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were a great many of them on the surface of the valley, and they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I replied, 'Lord God, only you know.' He said to me, 'Prophesy concerning these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to these bones: I will cause breath to enter you and you will live. I will put tendons on you, make flesh grow on you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you so that you come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. While I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And as I looked, tendons appeared on them, flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. He said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Say to it, this is what the Lord God says: breath, come from the four winds and breathe into these slain so that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me. The breath entered them and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. And he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Look how they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Lord God says: I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them, my people, and lead you into the land of Israel. You will know that I am the Lord, my people, when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it. This is the declaration of the Lord." Father, give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, and hearts to receive your word this morning, we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So last week we saw the Lord carry Ezekiel into the valley and walk him around so that he could examine the terrain. And Ezekiel says, the valley's not filled with life and the valley's not filled with vegetation. No, he says that this valley is covered in bones. And then he's very descriptive. He says, these bones were very dry. So when the Lord asks him the question, can these bones live? Ezekiel answers with this gut-level honesty and with faith. These bones, again, are not living. These bones are not capable of life on their own. But you, God, are the God who does miracles. If you want them to live, they will. And we said that faith should inspire something in us. You see, we walk through the valley, and for fear of being viewed as faithless, we tend to pretend that the valley isn't so low. We tend to deny that death and decay and struggle around us. We decide, listen, that's not so bad. But we said last week, before we can hope, we have to acknowledge what's in front of us. We have to face the situation head on so that we can hope. And before we dive into verses 4 through 8, can I just encourage you once again? That is a cathartic experience if you've never actually done it. If you've never actually prayed that honest prayer, God, this hurts and I don't want this anymore. Please take this away from me. If you've never prayed with that degree of honesty, listen to me, you're missing out. Because that is the kind of prayer that opens the door for the Lord to meet with you in your weakness. And that's where His strength and that's where His love are demonstrated most powerfully. But that gut-wrenching, honest prayer isn't where it stops. Not for Ezekiel, and not for you. As soon as Ezekiel answers with faith, Lord God, only you know, God calls him to action. Speak to the bones. Say to the bones, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I've got to be honest. I don't know how I would have reacted to that one. You want me to what? You want me to talk? No, not talk. You want me to prophesy? Right. To the bones. God, is this figurative? Do you mean that literally? Maybe this is symbolic. But Ezekiel says, in essence, the Lord told me to do it, so I did it. And that's always the right answer. Ezekiel is a prophet. When the Lord called him, he made Ezekiel's remit clear. Listen to what it says in Ezekiel 2. He says, God says, I am sending you, speaking to Ezekiel, I am sending you to the Israelites, to the rebellious pagans who have rebelled against me. The Israelites and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this day, and the descendants are obstinate and hard-headed. I am sending you to them, and you must say to them, this is what the Lord God says. And whether they listen or refuse to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. Ezekiel's entire calling as a prophet is to speak whatever it is that God says. And so listen, here's the first thing I want you to write down as you're taking notes. When you find yourself in the valley, I want you to speak what God says. To speak what God says. Whatever the words are that He gives you to speak, speak. What does God command Ezekiel to say? Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, I know some of us graduated from public school. You may have struggled in biology. I'm quite sure you're aware that bones don't have ears. Somebody say amen. Dry bones hear. With what? Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to these bones. I will cause breath to enter you, and you will live. I will put tendons on you, make flesh grow on you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you so that you come to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord. God gives Ezekiel a sermon to preach to dead, dry bones. And He gives the bones a promise through Ezekiel's mouth. I, do you see that? I, the Lord, I will cause breath to enter you and you will live. I, the Lord, I will put tendons on you. I will make flesh grow on you and I will cover you with skin. I, the Lord, will put breath in you so that you will come to life and then you will know. Come on. Then you will see. Then you will acknowledge. Then you will worship me. Then you will accept that I am the Lord. Do you see the pattern here? God isn't calling the bones to do anything of their own strength. Why? Because they have none. God isn't commanding the bones to get up. God isn't commanding the bones to assemble themselves. No, God gives them a promise of what He's going to do. And He gives them the reason that He's intervening on their behalf so that they would see Him and recognize Him and worship Him as the Lord. But again, step back from that for just long enough to remember He's telling Ezekiel to say this to scattered bones. God is commanding Ezekiel to extend His promise and His purposes to fossils. Can you imagine? Like, did Ezekiel stand up and go, dry bones? Like you can hear me. Hear the word of the Lord. What am I even doing? It makes me wonder. It causes me to ask myself the honest question. How often do I know exactly what it is that God has called me to do? But I modify it just a little bit to save face, to avoid embarrassment. You remember Moses in Numbers 20? Moses would speak with the Lord. The Bible says that they would speak as a friend speaks face to face, right? As a friend speaks friend to friend. And one day God tells Moses, here's what you're going to do. While the rest of Israel is watching you and looking on, I want you to speak to a rock. And you're going to speak to the rock, and I'm going to release water into the desert. And so Moses walks out of the tent of meeting, and I love this. He shouts at Israel. He shames Israel for rebelling against the Lord. And then he whacks the rock with a stick. Like, that's not what you were supposed to do, Moses. That's what God had told him to do. Last time, and it worked last time, but that's not what God told him to do this time. So God calls him on the carpet. How many of you have ever had that experience? Oh, that's lovely. Thank you. I'll be called on the carpet in front of the Lord. God calls him on the carpet. And says, you didn't trust me. Like God put his finger right on it. This is the issue. You didn't trust me. It's not that you in your head were like, I just forgot Jesus. So I hit it. Nope, that's not how it worked. I told you to speak to it and you went, I'll hit it again. God says, you didn't trust me. You didn't trust me to demonstrate my holiness in the sight of the people. You didn't trust me to prove myself faithful. Moses disobeyed for fear of being embarrassed when and if God didn't come through. And here's the thing, we read that story so many times, we've heard that story, some of you knew that story, I said Numbers 20, and y'all were like, I got it. But how many times do we turn that on ourselves, and instead of going, Moses is so stupid, how many times do we stop and go, I do it too. Here in the valley of the dry bones, when God commands Ezekiel to prophesy to dry bones, Ezekiel just clears his throat and takes a deep breath and opens his mouth to speak. And that should encourage us. That should motivate us when the situation seems hopeless, when hope seems lost, when we lay our hurts and our fears before the Lord, when we pray with honesty and God calls us to action, it's important that we actually take that step of faith and do what God commands. This is the second thing I want you to write down this morning. Do what God commands. Not hearers of the word only, right? But doers. When God tells you what to do, get busy. Ezekiel's entire life is patterned with this kind of obedience. Over and over and over. God calls him to do something, and Ezekiel just does it. Did it always make sense? No. In fact, most of the time, it didn't make any sense. I would encourage you to read through Ezekiel. There's some wild stuff in there. Did Ezekiel always understand the significance of what he was doing? Not in the moment. God told him to lay down on his side for days. Some of you are like, please, Lord, I see what you've done for others. God told him to lay down on his side for days. And you know what Ezekiel does? He does it. Then God says, roll over for days. And he does it. God told him to build a model city. Play with Legos. Micah would love it. What does he do? He builds. He builds a model city. Then God says, lay siege against the model city with props. Ezekiel does it. God tells him to shave his head and his beard. Ezekiel still obeys. When Ezekiel's wife died, God told him not to mourn. And Ezekiel obeyed. Ezekiel's entire life was a living sermon. He honored the Lord in his obedience, and he testified to Israel in his obedience. And it was in that same obedience, in his doing what it was that God commanded him to do, even when it didn't make sense, it was in that obedience that God moved. Some of you are waiting to see God's hand at work before you obey. You are getting it completely backwards. Look at what it says in verse 7. So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And while I was prophesying, he hadn't even finished. Dry bones here, and the bones start to rattle and they start to make noise. He was still obeying God in what seemed to be a hopeless situation, and the bones began to move and they began to attach themselves one to another. He was still doing what God called him to do when the tendons appeared on the bones and the flesh grew and skin began to cover them. You see, if we're not careful, here's what we'll do. We'll read a passage like this, and we will try to replicate Ezekiel's words, like the power is in his words. Or we'll grow envious, if not enough his words, we'll grow envious of Ezekiel's power. He must have this manifest power in and of himself to call dry bones to life. Or worse, we'll manufacture some leadership lesson and try and teach them to COs about the manner in which Ezekiel led the bones. But instead, we should be inspired by his faith. Because when you find yourself in the valley, you do what he calls you to do. And if you're taking notes, here's the third thing I want you to write down. And you trust God for what only he can do. You do what he's called you to do, and you trust him to do what only he can do. Ezekiel was not commanded to bring the dry bones back to life. It's a good thing. He couldn't have done it. Ezekiel wasn't told to gather the bones and to begin constructing a lot of skeletons. He wasn't told to go to a petri dish and figure things out, how to grow flesh and tendons and skin. None of that fell within Ezekiel's ability. She'll amen me if y'all won't. But how often do we place impossible standards and unreasonable expectations on ourselves that God never put there. How often do we say that we understand our limitations and then beat ourselves up when we can't accomplish the impossible? How often do we find ourselves in the valley and beat ourselves up for being there in the first place and not being able to escape? God doesn't call you to do or accomplish the impossible. He calls you to obey His voice and to trust Him to do what only He can do. So here's the question for us this morning. What has God already told you to do? Not 10 steps from now. Not the whole blueprint. Not how the bones are going to come together. What's the next thing you know? He said. Forgive. Confess. Speak. Stay. Go. Pray. Repent. Initiate that hard, difficult conversation. Begin that ministry. End that compromise. Listen, for some of you, the valley feels so overwhelming because you're still trying to resurrect an entire army by yourselves when God never asked you to do that. He didn't ask you to do that. He just said to open your mouth. He just asked you to take the next step. He just asked you to obey. Ezekiel simply prophesied as he had been commanded. And while he was still obeying, the bones began to rattle. The miracle often begins in the middle and in the midst of the obedience. You may not see breath yet. You may not see life yet. You may not see a vast army yet, but take that step. Speak what He says, do what He commands, and trust God to do what only He can do. As we enter this time of response, an invitation, as the worship team begins to make its way up, I think it's helpful to remember that we too were once dry bones. But the word of the Lord came to us. And the Spirit of the Lord entered us. And we were made alive in Christ Jesus. Christ has done what only He can do. Our part has always only ever been the same. hear his voice, believe his promise, and obey his voice. Would you pray with me?